Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF. This week, we invite you to join us in the classroom of human personality. Let's listen in as Dr. Ed Welch discusses the topic of personality testing.
Let's just think biblically about the word personality. There are a number of implications here. We're not going to give it a whole lot of time, but the time we give it, I think it's worthwhile. If somebody's a personality, they're a celebrity. That's one way of putting it. But if I would ask you now, what is your personality? There would be a certain way you'd think about that. Let me see if I can answer the question. What is my personality? I tend to be introverted. Okay, I tend to be introverted. I can find it in the larger the group, the more I get disoriented. If I am tasked with something, it's fine. But if I simply walk into a large group of people by myself, it is curiously disorienting to me. I can all of a sudden sense, I understand what agoraphobia could be. I would say I'm an introvert. Now, I've just used two words there that should be troubling to you, because you're not able to think biblically about them. I said the word personality. You find the word personality in Scripture? So you can't find it in Scripture. You see the dilemma here? There are two ways you can go with a dilemma. One way is, this is the easy way. If the Scripture doesn't talk about it, it's not that big a deal. And that's not all you can say, but that is a very wise thing to say. I'm calling myself an introvert. Well, big deal. You can call me an extrovert, and I'm not going to fight over it. It doesn't matter. It's sort of fun, okay? It's just like a parlor game, okay? So the Scripture doesn't speak about it in the way that we do, and so it must not be that essential for us to understand in order to grow in the knowledge of Christ and be sanctified. It's one way you can go. The other way you can go is a little bit more serious. And it will happen if you take a personality test and you say, wow, this is me. This has captured me. If you're in a relationship with somebody, and it's just these nagging problems that, both of you are well-intentioned, you want to do the right thing, but just keep hitting the same kinds of problems over and over again. And then you take a personality test, and there it is. Okay, now you know. Your husband is this personality, and you're this personality. You're from Mars and Venus, and all that kind of stuff. There's no doubt. There are all kinds of marriages in the church, and there are all kinds of people in the church where they read the Bible and they say it's interesting for the by and by, and they take a personality test. And says, "Whoa, this is me. This is telling a story about me. How did they know that about me?" That's when it gets concerning, because then your anthropology has to be rejigged, and there all of a sudden there's this other container out here called the psychological or something like that, and it's autonomous. Scripture doesn't speak to it because you don't find personality in Scripture, and you got to find personality tests and they'll speak to it. Can you see it? If it's just for fun, that's fine. Okay, you don't need a new category. Just this is fun. But if it's got you, that's when your theology will adapt to your observation. I want to be careful. I'm an introvert. I want to hold on to that loosely. I want to make sure it's a little tiny I. Okay. I want to be careful that I don't reduce my knowledge of myself to that particular word, okay? In part because it just doesn't seem to just fit easily. My mind doesn't naturally bring it into Scripture. Personality is we use the word, is a hybrid, okay? We are embodied souls. It's a hybrid of we are embodied and we are souls. It's a hybrid of hardwired, if you will, strengths and weaknesses, okay? Talents, things like that, coupled with character. Okay, they're intersecting. Okay, borderline personality. Okay, borderline personality obviously has a lot to do with that particular person's character. Okay, personality is a hybrid. When you find a word that doesn't seem to settle into Scripture easily, describe it. Okay, describe it in more ordinary language. And what's ordinary language? This thing called personality, as I observe, how I'm using it and how most of us use it, it's saying there's something recognizable about you from day to day. That there's this sort of stubbornly enduring quality about you. Okay, so why are you recognizable? Okay, that would be a more ordinary way to put it. One way would be that we are given gifts, okay, talents, and you can hear the way I talk about them. Some gifts are these deposits that we receive that grow with our sanctification. Other gifts are things, are strengths and talents that people saw in you when you were a month and a half years old. And certainly by the time you were five, people could see those things. These stubbornly enduring kinds of abilities. I was reading Sports Illustrated today, and the guy who does the back article is leaving. And he described his personality. He described what he was like when he was a little kid. He didn't have to describe it. He's like this, he writes this manic column, okay? And you can just see his mind is just going all over the place. And he's the kind of guy that would be great at a party, but you wouldn't want to live with him. He's like this hyperactive kid. And then he described himself as a hyperactive kid who used to drive everybody nuts. And of course, that's the way he was. So what are we saying? We're saying that here's a guy who was just oriented toward action, okay, physical action. What does he do? He gravitates towards sports, okay? All things sports. He loves them. He happens to be relatively unathletic himself, so he can't do them the way he would like. So he invests in his life in activity and in writing about activity and trying to have other people just sort of sharing his passion for what the active human can be. What are those things? I would say his mother would say they're weaknesses. Most of us would say they're strengths. Okay, it's just the way he was designed. Okay, it's hard. He's an embodied soul. It's hardwired into his body. He is an active person, bar all kinds of nasty brain damage, and this is the way he's going to be his entire life. And you're going to say, yeah, you're the same person at 54 you were when you were four. So you see what I'm trying to do? I'm just, there are, when something doesn't just sort of naturally just fall right into Scripture and Scripture make it come alive, it can be a threat, especially if it's something that is either very popular in the world, or it's a word that just identifies you. Okay, so that's why we're pausing on this just a little bit. I'm just trying to remind you, here are ways you can go after it. One, if Scripture doesn't talk about it, it's probably not that critical. Okay, where and chances are Scripture does talk about it. I'm just not bright enough to see it. But Scripture, Scripture is accessible to the normal person, and so I don't have to have this deep insight. I think I have everything I need to grow personally and to lead other people in spiritual growth. So that's the first thing you can do. The second thing you can do is just break it down into a more ordinary observation. Okay, don't let the word carry the freight. just use ordinary words to describe it. And then chances are, if it's a real human phenomena, you will be able to embed it in your extant biblical categories. Gifts, strengths, and weaknesses, as we've already talked about theologically, that's when we're saying those words, we're talking about the body, okay? Especially strengths and weaknesses and talents and abilities. Gifts, it's a little bit more of a complicated phenomenon. Character, what is it? It's righteousness, unrighteousness, okay? Who are you? He's just a liar. That's who he is. Okay, you know that would be a personality characteristic that some people would impose on somebody if lying was just constant. In that case, you see how this word sort of flows back and forth: strengths and weaknesses on one end, and sin and righteousness on the other. Very kind person. That was something that would move more to, obviously, toward character than toward physical strengths and weaknesses. I suspect a lot of you are like, I'm not introvert, I'm not extrovert, I'm just sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm that. I'm probably a little bit more introverted the majority of the time. So if you're more extreme one way or the other, you say, yeah, that's it, that's me. But a lot of you are just going to be hovering around the middle and say, "What? Well, you know, whatever." But there are some words that are going to capture you well. Well, what you do is you're going to use words that capture you well, and you're going to make up a test about them. That's how you make up a personality test. Okay? You know, I'm just trying to debunk them. There's nothing highly scientific about it. So there's nothing inherent the human being with these tests, okay? They're not trying to find some deep hidden substrate. It's more like this. It's going out at night and seeing stars and satellites and all these light things. And you go up and you try to look for faces and figures and things like that that are not really genuine constellations, you know, where tomorrow night they're not going to be there. But you're just looking for patterns, okay? That's who are we? You know, for whatever reason, we are people who are pattern oriented, okay? We, you know, when we get a lot of data points, we're going to clump them in a certain way. That's what personality stuff is. It's just here's all these, you know, all these little data points about who people are. Well, some people say, "Hey, you see it looks like a little lion up there. You know, it looks like a little dog up there." I don't see that, but I see this. That's more or less what people are doing with these particular tests. The best tests are the tests that only can say nice things about you. That's why the Myers-Briggs test is just one of the very, very popular American tests, because it can't say anything bad about you. The MMPI, you know, there are other tests, the TJTF, they can say bad things about you. So they're not quite as popular. So anyway, there it is. Do I use personality tests in counseling? If you are a person who wants to know another person, and if you want to know another person, you think in terms of categories. You clump data together. Okay, you have a mind that naturally does that. You can see patterns. If you have those two things, personality test is going to be boring for you. But if you are missing either one of those, if you don't have an interest in people, if you're autistic, or if you don't have ability to really chunk, you know, data together in larger patterns, then it's going to seem like magic to you. Personality test will seem like it just diagnose your soul. There's nothing revealing about the human condition with these tests. They're just words that people liked. And there are a lot of people who can't see enduring patterns in one another. Okay. And for those people, sometimes these tests help. But overall, how do we look at these things? It's not revelatory of this psychological realm of the person, which we're ignorant of, and how much else is there where this came from. It's just trying to play around. Oh, I think I see a smiley face up there. I think I see, you know, it's just trying to play around with different patterns. And sometimes that discussion can be enjoyable, because it what it does in some relationships, it allows people to think of another person's style as perhaps a strength and a weakness rather than a sin. And sometimes that can be very useful, because you know how this goes. If somebody's different than us, I mean, we tend to think there's a certain rightness in us sometimes and a wrongness in the other person. So in that sense, these tests probably have created profitable dialogue in some relationships.
Did you know this class is offered in a distance education format? For information on how you can be a part of the class in the convenience of your own home or ministry, visit us on the web at ccef.org.